know, one of the things that Jesus would talk about is he would use metaphors, and he would use things from the culture, and one of those things that was from the vernacular of the culture he lived in, you might want to cover your coffee if you're new to Crosspoint, because you never know what's going to happen, is he'd talk about things like sowing seed and planting things, because this was what people understood. In fact, here's what he said one time in Luke chapter 8. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from the town around him, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow seed. And he says that, this is hard to read while I'm doing this, by the way. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on. He said, and the birds came and ate it up. He said, some fell upon the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants, and still other seed fell on fertile soil, good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And so what Jesus is talking about here is he's saying, you know, this, when God comes, it's kind of like this seed. The seed comes and is planted, and what's going on the inside, the receptivity of the soil, if you will, determines where the seed goes. And so today, welcome to Crosspoint, by the way. If you're new here, welcome. This is very not out of the character for us here at Crosspoint, so we're glad you're here. We're talking about spring today, and what happens in spring is it's messy, and seeds get planted, and there's dirt, and it's just a muddy mess. And so we're going to take a look at what this means for us today spiritually, and how what happens in the physical world mirrors the spiritual world. God, I just thank you for the chance to be here today. I thank you that you have planted things in us, that there are things that you have maybe put down deep inside of us, maybe even years ago, and maybe today, for the very first time, you are going to make those things pop. You're going to bring a moisture, you're going to bring a rain that's going to come and just take those things you've planted to entirely new places. Maybe for the very first time, some of us here today, we're going to experience you for the very first time, and there's going to be a rain that comes. That waters and moisturizes us. And so, God, we just pray that whatever that looks like for us today, that you would allow new things to take root today. And we just pray these things according to your name, Jesus, and your identity. Amen. Well, you know, whenever seed comes, there has to be a rain that comes that allows things to take root. And so, you know, this is spring, right? And we don't like rain, right? Whenever it rains, what do? We want to get out of the rain. We don't run to the rain. Rain spoils things. And so one of the things Jesus always understood was that, you know, he tried to, again, connect with the culture. He used the vernacular of the times. If he were here today, he'd probably talk about things like Little League and, you know, maybe business principles or, you know, some lessons from the golf course or the, you know, metaphors from the lake. But he was talking about agriculture because that's what people understood. And one of the things he knew is that whenever something was planted, in order for it to pop and to go into an entirely different mode, there had to be a rain that came. All right, there had to be a rain. In fact, we have this old song we used to sing, right? It went something like, you know, April showers bring May flowers. Yes. Yeah. So there always has to be a rain. It's one of the things we understand about spring is that in order for the garden to grow, in order for things to pop out, there has to be a rain that comes. So today, we're going to take a look at three principles of spring. And the first one is that God comes from the outside in. That's one of the things we see, is that God comes from the outside in. The only issue I have with that Daniel, Mr. Miyagi clip a moment ago, is he said, everything you have is within you. And that's not actually true. In fact, it always kind of bothers me whenever I hear somebody say, well, I've always known God. I mean, God's always been a part of my life. And I hear that, and I go, well, not necessarily. I mean, if you say that, that actually tells me you don't really understand God. See, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all of sin, see, all of us have had a separation, or we've missed the mark that has separated us from God, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, you may feel like you've always known God. You may feel like, you know, God's always kind of, you kind of been in an environment where God was taught, maybe like an environment like Crosspoint, where you learned that, you know, God created you, Jesus loves you, he wants to be your friend. I mean, that's what our kids are learning today. But for the most part, you know, Jesus is very clear. I mean, when we, you know, kind of plop out of our mother's birth canal, we don't necessarily know God. Jesus comes from the outside in, and there has to be something planted in order for that to grow. So Jesus, he would often use these metaphors, and he'd talk about throwing seed. And the point was the response to the seed, and he goes on to explain what happens for those who receive the seed. And basically, this is every single one of us, because we all receive the seed differently. And so he says some falls on the beaten path, some falls on the rocky ground, some falls on the fertile soil. I mean, the fertile soil that's just ready and ripe for planting. And he says, and then another seed falls on thorny places where it's kind of strangled out. And so here's how Jesus describes this metaphor. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And there's some pretty intense words right there, right? Devil, saved. What he's saying is there's an outside force that actually wants to prevent the seed from taking root in you. That's what he's saying right here. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word. With joy, they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So here he's saying there might be a little bit of soil. It's not very deep. It's not lush. Maybe a little bit of soil, and the seed hits the soil, but it's not deep. And so the sun comes out, and quickly it scorches the seed, and the plants wither. In fact, this happens in fishers all the time. Have you ever wondered why you're always having to water your yard in fishers? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, anybody have to water their yard in order for it to stay, you know, lush and green? Yeah, like most of us, all of us. It's because when developers come in, they basically scrape the topsoil off the land, and I think many times sell that. I don't know if that's illegal or not. They sell it off for an additional profit. They build your house, and then they put like a thin layer of topsoil on top of the ground, then they put sod on top of it. And so, you know, that sod has nothing, for the most part, for its roots to go down into. And if you're not aerating and doing the things that allow those roots to grow deep, then the sun comes out for 2 or 3 days, and it scorches up your lawn. And Jesus says, this is what happens with us. He then goes on, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. See, what he's saying here is you can only live so long with an incongruence between your behaviors and your beliefs, what you want to have happen and what you're actually doing. And so he said, you know, and this is how it's going to be with many of us today. We're going to hear some new ideas, and we're like, oh, I need to do this. I need to put this into practice in my life. And then all of a sudden, we're going to go back home, and we're going to, you know, be drawn in by the pleasures and the things we like. And all of a sudden, you know, we're going to forget thinking about God. And pressures financially are going to come, or sexually, or maybe something I need to do in my marriage, and yet I don't really want to take the time to build that in. And so some of the things we talk about today are going to be choked out. Because we're just not ready or willing to receive the seed. It says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. He says, they produce a crop. This is what spring's about, right? It's where seeds go down into the soil, where seeds go into the soil, and they begin to take root, and a rain comes, and things begin to pop, right? It's beautiful, it's lush, and it begins to grow. And notice the words right there. I love those last words. It says they're going to produce a crop. Notice it's plural right there, right? It's not like a single stalk that's going to come and you're going to produce one sprout and be all by yourself. No, he says it's not an individual plant. There's a crop that's going to be developed. He said it starts by something coming from the outside in, us receiving something from the outside, and then the rain coming. And you know what's fascinating about this is, you know, so many times we live in a culture today that's all about the veneer, right? We're all about the external. We're all about what's going on the outside. In fact, we're more worried about what's going on the outside than the fertile soil that's going on the inside of our lives. And so, you know, whenever we experience some kind of pain or outage or, you know, difficulty or brokenness in our life, instead of digging in and going, okay, what's really going on inside of me that's missing, what we do is we just address the outside. Oh, I got to get a better job, right? I need to get a better car. I need a better spouse. I'm going to change, you know, him out and get a new one. Or I need a new augmentation. We always look to the external. And so we feel this outage and we're like, man, I just don't feel good. I don't feel good. Somebody's not doing something right on the outside. I don't know if my church isn't doing something right. I don't know if my spouse isn't doing something right. I'm not feeling good. Somebody else needs to do something to make me, you know, be better, feel better, as opposed to the idea that maybe
maybe we just have a thorny heart. I mean, maybe the thorns in our life have just began to take over and choke out the seed that's been going on because we haven't gone through spring and the rains that have done the internal work of developing us, of maturing us. So see, God comes from the outside in, but growth, second big idea, comes from the inside out. So growth comes from the inside out. And growth happens when all of a sudden there's seeds that are planted. These seeds are pushed down, and there's a rain that comes, and it begins to allow them to push out. Last summer, our family spent some time in San Francisco area on a family vacation, and it was a beautiful, beautiful area if you've not been out there. And we spent one morning at Muir Woods, and we got up really early to make sure we were there, even before the park opened, and just, you know, wandered through. These are some pictures from our experience, my kids there on your right. And it was really fascinating because every now and then you would see a stump of a tree, of a big sequoia. Sequoias are beautiful. Holy cow. They just remind you of the majesty of God. It's incredible. You'd see this one sequoia stump, and in some cases it looked like maybe a forest fire had come and, you know, and charred the tree, or maybe a storm came through and it had caused the tree to fall. But it was crazy because wherever there was a stump, you would immediately see a circle of trees around that stump. And I'm like, oh, why is that? Well, we came across one little placard that explained it. Here's what it said. It said, despite such terrible damage, the tree did not die. Below the ground, a massive root system was full of vitality. Before long, hundreds of young, bright green burl sprouts began to come up around the circle formed by the crown of the original tree. Some of those sprouts have grown into the full-sized trees that today stand in a circle around the original trunk. How cool is that? It's like even though the external was charred and weathered and had been through some real deep adversity, it was producing a crop. Why was it producing a crop? Because its roots went down deep and began to create new burl sprouts that were coming up all around it. This is what Jesus is talking about. There was a crop being developed, and it came from the inside out. One time Jesus was interacting with, you know, some religious leaders and people who are all about the external. And here's what he said in Matthew 7. He said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, we don't live in an agrarian culture today, right? Most of us don't, at least. In fact, most of us spend very little time out in nature, myself included. We wish we could spend more time. But we don't really, you know, we don't really understand nature all that well. And so, you know, what Jesus is saying here is don't look at the externals. Meaning, he's saying basically, if I were to bring you like a piece of bark from a tree and say, hey, what tree is this from? Most of us would be like, I don't know, maybe an oak tree? I don't know. You might be able to identify a birch tree, right? Because birch is very identifiable. Or if I were to bring you some sets of leaves from different trees, you know, and say, hey, what trees are these from? I don't know. I did a leaf collection in like fourth grade. I don't remember, you know. But if I were to bring you fruit, you go, oh, that's a lemon. Or, oh, that's an apple. Or, oh, that's from the watermelon tree right there. There's not really a watermelon tree. Just test and see if you're awake. The walnut tree, that's a walnut. So what he's saying is by the fruit that's being produced, I will know who you are. So right after this, he goes on and he says this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And what he's saying right here is there's these hyper-spiritual types that are all interested in the external, that they're always wanting to show off their spirituality. Woo, man, just show off my spirituality. And they're gonna go, Jesus, Jesus, remember when we were healing people? Remember when we were healing people? He's gonna be like, do I know you? Do I know who you are? Oh, Jesus, remember we were like casting demons out. Remember how cool that was? It's like, I've never cast demons out, by the way. That would be pretty cool. I've never done that. That's never been something that I've been called to do. And yet, you know, remember when we like cured cancer, Jesus? Remember when we did that thing? Man, wouldn't that be cool? Jesus, like, do I know your name? I don't know that I know who you are. Have we met? See, Jesus, he's like, I'm not impressed by the hyper-spirituality. I'm not impressed with the show. I'm not impressed. He's like, and if you can do these things and, you know, you produce fruit that's very identifiable at the same time, great, fantastic. But what is fruit? See, fruit is not the cool things that come out on the external. Fruit is the beautiful, beautiful stuff that pops out from the inside out. It springs out from the inside because of what's being cultivated inside of us. In fact, there's a series of beautiful fruits that we find in Galatians. The Apostle Paul talks about them. And here's what he says. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and what this means is if the Spirit is in you, if the Spirit is inside of you, if you've received the Spirit, then he says there's going to be a fruit that begins to come from the inside out. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He said these are the things that pop out of your life. Meaning, if somebody has the fruit of love that's just popping out of their life, if they're a friend of yours and you spend time with them, you're like, oh man, you know, there's something really just amazing that happens when I'm with that friend. I want to be with them all the time. You know why? Because there's love that comes out of their life. It's a fruit. Or maybe when somebody has the fruit of joy in them and you watch them go through really, really difficult circumstances, you're like, how in the world do they have joy in the midst of that? I mean, this past week, we'd shared with the CrossPoint community that, you know, my wife had just, we just found out last week that she's diagnosed with breast cancer. And somebody, I ran into somebody this week and they said, how's she doing? I'm like, yeah, she's doing great. She's doing good. I mean, it's like another hurdle for us to cross. And, you know, but we caught it really good, really early good news. It's a really good diagnosis. And they were like, well, yeah, I saw her. And she was still like laughing just like her old self. I'm like, yeah. That's who she is. I mean, that's, you know, there's a joy that Julie has that just comes out. And we're not going to let, like, the thorns of life, you know, squash that joy. And like I said, we almost feel like, my word, God has just had his hand in this thing because, you know, her prognosis is so good. And yet we just look at it as another way for God to evidence his power and his might in the world through our lives. And you might say, well, how do you do that? Well, it's because we've had years and years of thick, lush, fertile soil where God has planted seeds and the rains have come and the storms have come and we've weathered through the storms and those seeds continue to produce a crop. Spring is still producing a lush crop. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't have love or joy or peace or patience or goodness or gentleness, you know, coming out of your life, or if you just like have slip-ups on some of these, you're a loser. You know, don't be like, oh God, I just screwed this one up this week. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is when these are coming out of your life, the more these are coming out of your life, the more God is rooted in you. All right? The more fruit you have coming out of your life, see, these are the sexy things Jesus is interested in. All right, these are the things Jesus is really interested in. And for those things to come out of your life, guess what? You've had to have been through spring. You've had to have been through the rain. All right, you've had to have been working in the mud for some time in your life. And can we just admit it? We don't like rain, right? Does anybody like rain? I mean, you saw the forecast today, you're like, oh, it's going to rain. Yeah, it's going to cancel our, you know, kids are like, it's going to cancel Little League. It's going to cancel softball. You know, my basement's going to flood again. I mean, can we just admit we generally don't like rain, right? I mean, we don't like rain, right? We see it's going to rain. Like, oh, man, we don't like rain until you come to the place where you begin to plant something. And see, when you get down in the dirt and the mud and you start pushing seeds into the ground, all of a sudden you're going, when's it going to rain? I wonder when it's going to rain. You know, I don't want to get my sprinkler out. When's it going to rain? See, what's rain? Rain is the inconvenience that comes from God that waters us. Rain is kind of like the distraction. Rain is the stuff we don't like very much in the moment. You know, we have all these plans, but it moisturizes us and it allows things to begin to pop, to begin to germinate. And this is how growth works. This is how growth works, you know, in the physical realm. This is also how growth works in the spiritual realm. I mean, I've got to be down on my knees, you know, pushing plants and getting my hands dirty, and I'm cramping up, and we don't like the work, right? We don't like the cramps that come when we're down in the garden. But I tell you what, whenever you see a garden that's lush and beautiful, and flowers are popping up, and what you know is somebody's done the hard work of going through spring. Somebody's done the hard work of getting their hands in the mud and dealing with spring to allow that garden to grow. When you see somebody close with God and you begin to see things like love and patience and joy and faithfulness and gentleness and kindness and self-control, when you see those things popping out of their life, you know they've been in the rain. You know they've been on their knees. You know they've been down in the mud enduring stuff, because that's the only way the fruit eventually comes. See, stuff gets developed in the rain. And it's messy and it's muddy, and you know, sometimes we wonder, I mean, why is this awful stuff happening to me? And perhaps it's God, I don't know. Perhaps it's just the brokenness of the world. But what we know is I need the mud in order to grow. Jesus, one time he looked out and he saw the difficult kind of emotional state of people in the world and just the brokenness. And he saw them in lonely places. He saw people, you know, in broken relationships, you know, repeatedly. And he saw them just going after things externally to try to satisfy themselves. And he's like, it's not working. It's not working. He's like, here's what he said. He said, these people are almost like a sheep without a shepherd. There's nobody building into them. There's nobody like building them up and mentoring them. In fact, here's what he said next in Matthew 8. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He said, ask, or in another translation, it says pray. He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Last thing I want to see today, third thing about spring, is good works come when we get dirty. Good works come when we get dirty. See, good works don't come when we have new thoughts. Good works don't come when we have, you know, new ideas and we're inspired, oh, I need to do this new thing. No, good works come when you get dirty. Good works come when you roll up your sleeves and you get in the mud and you get dirty. Good works come when you get sweaty, when you get down in the needs and the mire of the world, and you begin to interact and you get involved and you don't smell downy fresh anymore, right? Like, that's when good things happen. If you've ever played an outdoor sport, you understand what I'm about to say. If you ever played soccer or football or baseball or, you know, anything like that, you know, lacrosse, you understand that there's nothing worse when you walk off the field than having a clean jersey, right? I mean, because like when you walk off a sports field and, I mean, kids, you know, boys and girls, they're like, oh, I'm just going to stomp around in the mud, right? They just find the mud pie because they love to be messy. But, you know, if you're an athlete and you walk off with a clean jersey, what do people say to you? They're like, oh, you got a game today? And you're like, I already played. I'm a loser. I didn't make it in. Right? I mean, you want to get your jersey dirty, and that's a sign that you were actually engaged, right? My sophomore year of high school probably was my absolute worst year of high school sports. And the reason was early in the basketball season, I dislocated my shoulder, had a pretty massive shoulder injury, underwent shoulder surgery, so that put me out for the rest of the year. And you know, I made the JV baseball team. I mean, I didn't try out, but the coach wanted me there with the team, you know, for the next year. I would dress every day, but that's all I did. I was on injured reserve. I never played an inning all season. I kept the book. I did all the things that aren't sexy. And so, you know, as an athlete, the last thing you wanted to do is walk off the field with a clean jersey, right? Now for most of us, we actually go away from the dirt most of the time, right? I mean, if you're not an athlete, you know, half of us go to work every day and there's no evidence you worked. I mean, you may have got something done, but you look clean when you walk away. I mean, you might have some cramps from typing or something. You know, whew, man, it's hard. I typed, you know, today. That's what I do. But most of us, we run away from the problems. When you come to church, we're like, man, I want to sit in a seat, man. Let's pay people to do the messy, you know, sweaty work. But I just remember how humiliating it was as a player. And so I would go out and I'd start doing stretches, you know, I'd do the arm rotations, it's good rotations for my shoulder. And, you know, we'd do, you know, bigger arm rotations. And then we do things like, you know, like the quad flexors where you'd get down and, you know, I'd like find that muddy patch and rub my knee in the ground, you know, get a little dirt and I'm stretching. And then one of my coaches, Mr. Kanerschnick, was really a football coach, even though he coached baseball. So he had us do these things called up-downs. Anybody remember up-downs? Up downs are like, you know, like you jump down and then you jump back up, and Fight Club guys, what do you call them? Burpees, yes, because they turn your stomach. Anybody who created the burpee, I think, was sick. All right, they really were, because it makes you feel that way. So, you know, I remember what you'd do is you'd go out, and we'd be out there, and he'd be like, all right, boys, we're doing up downs. And you'd like do high knees, you know, and the whole point was you were simulating, you know, what you were going to do if you got knocked down during a game and you had to quickly get back up. You're simulating, how can I get up and resume? And so we'd get high knees, and he'd blow the whistle, and what had happened? You know, jump up. You know, high knees. You blow the whistle. Whoo. Jump up. You know, high knees. Whoo. Jump up. And I loved it because I wasn't playing. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. At the end of the game, even if you weren't in the game at all, your jersey got dirty. And you looked like you were engaged, right? See, Jesus, he looks out and he sees a lost and hurting world and people who are walking through these doors every single week, broken, out of broken relationships, marriages, you know, kids maybe going in directions they don't want to go. And they're experiencing rain in their life. They're experiencing the muddy mess. There's a whole world around us that's in need. And the world needs a place for people to be engaged. They need to be engaged. And you need to be engaged. See, you can't grow when you just sit in the seats. You can't grow when you just, you know, have a nice, you know, downy smell sipping your coffee every week. That's not where you grow. You grow when you jump into somebody's life. You grow when you jump into your neighbor's life, when you jump into, you know, some single mom at your work who just needs your kids to be taken care of one night a week. And you're like, hey, I'll do that. You grow when you, you know, you take care of the widow's, you know, lawn or, you know, snowblower driveway next door. And what happens is when you're snowblowing, when you're shoveling, when you're, you know, taking care of that kid that, you know, isn't yours, what happens is you grow. Love starts, you know, springing up in your life. Patience begins. See, you don't develop patience because you want to, right? Have you ever tried that? You ever just tried to say, I'm going to be patient? Doesn't work, right? When do you develop patience? When you have to. And all of a sudden, it begins to burst out of your life. This past week, took my daughters to school on, I believe it was Wednesday. Dropped them off in the drop-off line. I never do that. It was a rare thing. And I was blown away. There's this long line of people waiting to get into the school. We were backed up into the street. And so, you know, we slowly crept up, and cars from the other direction were going. We were kind of alternating one car from each direction pulling in. And when I got up to pull into the parking lot, the other direction of cars had been stalled for a while because there's a line of traffic. And so, you know, when I got up there, there's a pretty big gap in front of me. So I started, like, waving cars in. I'm like, hey, come on. And then the next car, come on. I've got, like, four or five in, you know. I'm like, keep coming. You know, and all of a sudden, the guy behind me is like, argh. He's, like, laying on his horn, you know, which I wanted to wave at him, too. I thought, man, I'm gonna wave it. And I didn't do that. 20 years ago, I would have done that, all right? You know what I did? All right, you go too. Come on, just keep coming in. Just kept calling him in. And as we're then sitting in the line, he's right behind me. I'm looking to see if I know him, you know, and I don't think it was any of you. And so we get up to the drop-off curb, and his daughter gets out of the car. I'm like, oh, she looks familiar. I said, Maggie, who is that? She's like, oh, that's so-and-so. She's a little Miss Sassy Pants. I'm like, well, so is her dad. That's what... See, here's the point. Whatever crop you're producing in your life is springing up in your kids. Jesus, he said, where were you when I was in need? Where were you when I was hungry? Oh, I was there, Jesus, I was there, I was right there. No, you weren't, because, you know, those who were there were those who served the least of these. That's who was there. See, Jesus, like, don't impress me with your Bible knowledge. Don't impress me with, you know, all the external spiritual stuff. He's like, that's not impressive to me. Impress me with the way that the fruit is coming out of your life. All right? I mean, not the clean clothes you walk into church with, or not wanting to get sweaty or dirty, taking care of kids, snotty kids in the nursery. No, impress me with the way you roll up your sleeves, you get down in the dirt, and you actually serve. You know what's really cool is we actually have a built-in mechanism here at Crosspoint for this. And so I want you to go ahead and take out your connection card. We got connection cards, and go ahead and take out this serve survey. I want us to hold both of these. And there's some serve information. You can do this digitally, or you can do this, you know, on a card. But I want to be really clear before we start on this. This is not, the goal was not to get everybody to fill one of these serve cards out today. All right, I just want to be really clear. Because a lot of us have gotten all fired up. Oh, man, I need to be serving. I need to do something. You know, don't do something. I'm not trying to make you do something out of guilt. All right, if you feel guilty, then maybe you're guilty. All right, let's just say. But I'm not trying to make you do something out of guilt. But if you want to get on our team and you want to get on the field of play and you want to go to a different place than just sitting in the seats, then I want you to go ahead and fill this out. We've got roles for you. This is not a commitment. It doesn't tie you into some contract. What this is it gives us information so we can follow up with you this week. And we have all kinds of roles. We have opportunities in kids' environments where you can be a small group leader, or you can tell, you know, the story from up front. You can just hold babies. We have opportunities in the band and in tech roles where, you know, if you have tech or creative, you know, energies, you can, you know, these are normal people. These are just normal people like you. We have opportunities to serve coffee, to welcome people who are maybe broken and hurting, walking in for the first time. And so if you're interested, you can go ahead and fill your name in on here. Just put your email address. Make sure it's legible. Your best contact information, phone number. And then just pick a few areas. You know, wherever you say, you know, I could maybe serve there. There's some midweek opportunities. And this will help us follow up with you. And see, here's the thing. You need to be on your hands and knees. You need to be in the garden with your sleeves rolled up for your growth. That's the only way you grow. And people around you need you. It's raining all around us, if you haven't noticed. It is raining. I mean, there are kids walking in here every single week that go back to Up Street or to Air 56 who you may be the only bright light that they experience the entire week. I mean, you don't have to have any Bible knowledge or any steeped, you know, education experience to work with kids. We're gonna make it easy for you. We're going to give you what you need to be a hero with them every week. I mean, we need people up here leading us and serving us as we begin to look at expanding environments here at CrossPoint and services. We need people who will bring hope and inspiration from the platform, people to push knobs in the back, make coffee, just to hand a warm cup of coffee to people. The harvest is plentiful, it's very plentiful, and contextually speaking, the workers are very few. And so you can fill this out, and we'll follow up with you this week. Pick a first serve date. We'll give you a chance to try something out, see if it's a good fit for you, and then plug in a couple times a month. You can drop this in the joy box when you leave, or if that's not your speed, you can look at some of the next steps on the back of the connection card. Maybe just rolling my sleeves up and getting involved somewhere. Whatever it is, maybe your deal is to get baptized today. Maybe that's your thing. God's just been working on that with you. But see, here's the thing. We believe we're here to change the world. That's why we're here. Right? And for the world to change, you've got to be engaged. And the world changes as you begin to change because you're engaged. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? Love starts popping out of your life. All of a sudden, you know, patience starts popping out of your life. And God goes, oh, look at that. That's my daughter right there. I'm so proud of her. Oh, look at that. That's my son. I know him because he's about my work. Now, as we wrap up, as Eric said, we're gonna have baptisms available today. I am not going to get in the water this way. In fact, Eric's going to host baptisms this morning. But we just believe this is a really important next step for anybody who has maybe received Jesus, maybe recently, maybe years ago. Maybe you've just never over the years taken this step, or maybe you've just recently received it. Maybe today you're going to receive. Your soil is just fertile, and you're ready to take that step to allow God to plant himself inside of you, his grace. And so we're going to have three songs, and you can choose to be baptized during any of those. We don't have any plan today. There's no planned baptisms, you know, that are lined up. This is solely just something that's available because we believe it's so important. And so if you feel like today's your day to get into the water and say, I'm going to publicly affirm that, God, I'm with you and you're with me. I mean, I've personally decided that, but I want to make that a public declaration. You can do that. I'm going to tell you how you can do that in just a moment. And it's going to be a little messy. You're going to get wet. I mean, you're going to get wet. And maybe you didn't plan on getting wet today, but we planned on you getting wet. We planned on that for you. And here's the thing. There's a freshness that comes. There's a freshness that comes when we're obedient to what God has called us to. So let's go ahead and stand. And if you're just sensing that Jesus is, you know, maybe just tugging on your heart, saying, hey, this is your next step, you can walk out of your rows right now to the back, to the venue, or at any time over these next three songs, and our baptism team is prepared. and they will help you take this step today. That we've got clothes and t-shirts and undergarments and, you know, new, by the way, undergarments and hair product, everything that's needed for you to walk out of here in the same clothes that you walked in today, but to take the step of baptism. So we're going to sing three songs. Eric's getting in the tub right now, and at any point during these songs, you can exit if you want to make this your next step today. Heavenly Father, thank you for spring. Thank you for the mud and the rain and the messiness that come and that have to come for good fruit to grow. And so God, wherever we are right now, however this seed is landing with us this morning, God, I pray that you would just bring a moisture. God, that you would just bring a moisture all of our lives and allow those seeds to pop. Father, some of us, maybe that's a step of baptism today. Maybe even right now, our hearts fluttering and we're trying to decide. God, just give us the courage to take this step today if this is the thing you're calling us to. God, for some of us, maybe our hearts have been warmed to you today, and we're here. We've never started a relationship with you, and we thought we had to do things, but we realized out of the day, it's just simply something we receive from you. You come from the outside in, and that can happen right now. It can happen by us simply saying, God, I want you. I want to know you. I want to receive you into my life. Would you plant your grace in me? Would you plant your spirit in me? And would you begin to water that so you can produce a new crop, something entirely new out of my life, I pray. Just begin that right now. Amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Eric's going to be in the pool. Anybody that would like to be baptized, you can exit any time over these next three songs. We're going to celebrate the growth that God brings.